your trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate, and to discriminate only generates hate, and when you hate, then you're bound
Welcome
to get
irate. Hour two, segment number two of the Liberal Patriot Podcast. My name is John Easton. I'm here with Will Cowley.
Good to be back.
And
I like that tone.
We had talked last time as we went out of the first segment about soldiers coming home with the baggage.
Excess baggage.
This is from Yahoo News. I believe the story was broke by Channel 10 out of 10 News, I believe, out of California. Says, this is from the article, Dead Heroes. You can find this on theliberalpatriot.blogspot.com.
I love that blog.
Dead heroes are supposed to come home with their coffins draped with the American flag, greeted by a color guard. But in reality, many are arriving as freight on commercial airliners, stuffed in the belly of a plane with suitcases and other cargo. Talks about a couple here, John Holly and Stacy, were stunned when they found out their only child, Matthew, who died in the last month, would be arriving at Lindbergh Field as freight.
Terrible. Ridiculous.
This is just another in a long line of...
And you know, the Bush administration, the Pentagon, were complaining that when news organizations took pictures of the like a C-5 or a 141 with flag draped coffins, that it was disrespectful,
right,
for them to take a picture of that. Now I'm thinking, how is it being jammed in the belly of a plane with a bunch of friggin' duffel bags?
Well, I'm
thinking that might be a little disrespectful.
Well, the thing about it is that everything is political with the Bush administration. Mm. And it's disrespectful for George Bush to have not attended a single soldier's funeral.
Now, are we unpatriotic because we think that those dead heroes should have a flag draped coffin? Or are we disrespectful that we think those dead heroes shouldn't be jammed in with a bunch of duffel bags and a bunch of baggage and whatever else? I mean, there might be tank pots and all kinds of other crap jammed in that belly of that commercial airliner bringing those dead heroes.
We're unpatriotic because of the fact that we question what George Bush wants to do. And the thing about it is that soldiers who come back deserve to be honored. They
Absolutely.
Deserve to have their coffins seen and photographed.
Absolutely.
And they deserve to have high-ranking government officials attend their funerals if they choose to do so.
Absolutely.
But in the Bush administration, everything is political. So attending a soldier's funeral or calling any media attention to the fact that soldiers are dying would hurt their political goals, and so therefore it's bad and unpatriotic.
Yeah.
So that's basically what it is that if it hurts the Bush administration, it's unpatriotic.
It's unpatriotic, right.
Even if it's...
if it's even questioning the Bush administration,
right.
it's considered unpatriotic.
And, you know, this was one of those things that's supposed to go under the radar, you know.
I think desertion is unpatriotic myself. I don't know.
Well, if it's...
I think five deferments because you're going to... your wife is pregnant and you're going to college. Was she even pregnant yet?
He got her pregnant.
Yeah.
Or he hired someone to
no
do
doubt,
it. I mean,
yeah,
I don't really know.
Well, there you go.
But the thing about it is you forget that, the military is okay for regular people, but not for someone like Dick Cheney. He had other priorities.
Well, I know
he was destined for greatness.
Ashcroft was destined for greatness too. He had what, seven deferments or something?
Well, I don't know.
Being a wicked moron.
I think when he showed up to his physical, completely covered in Crisco, that they probably were just like, okay, deferment.
Go. Okay, this guy needs a deferment. He'd just be too convenient to poke fun at there.
So of course the military hating unpatriotic Barbara Boxer was the one that jumped to the defense of this family and made sure that their son was given recognition, and they had a color guard that escorted his coffin. And also she's looking into putting a stop to this practice. When the Pentagon was questioned, they said a representative from the Department of Defense said she did not know why this was happening.
Hmm.
Which means...
Sure she does. It's all about the buck. And on top of that, our tax dollars are going to pay going to fund that commercial airline for probably a no-bid contract. I don't know. But to take those American hero, dead American heroes home, and, you know, that aircraft, that commercial airliner is probably squeezing every last cent out of that American taxpayer dollar because, you know, if they say, well, this should just be for dead heroes, this flight is for dead heroes, well, I mean, there's a lot of space in that aircraft that they could be using for... like I said, duffel bags and tank, you know, dead tank pots.
Well, the issue is, too, is that what it is, I believe, is that the Department of Defense was caught with their pants down and they have yet to come up with their excuse. Their excuse will be coming soon.
They have yet to pull their pants up.
Right. The excuse will be coming soon as to why soldiers are being shipped around as freight. Yeah. The original, I think you have the right answer, is that the original reason was it was cheaper.
Right, exactly.
It's cheaper, and it's a dead body, and we don't care.
I wonder what Rush Limbaugh would say about this. Oh, well, I'm sure he would say we're unpatriotic.
The liberal media.
Right off, yeah. Oh, there, Barbara Boxer, see, cut and run.
Right.
Rush Limbaugh, he served in the war on drugs in Florida, right? And the ACLU came to bail him out... I don't know.
Right, he had a he could not serve because he had a
An ass cyst.
Well,
yeah, wasn't he had something on his sphincter or something, an ass cyst or something.
You liberals distorting the truth. Actually, he had a open cyst on his spine. You liberals,
okay.
With your
hey, it was a yeah, okay. Sorry. I'm mixing my press releases here.
Right.
So it wasn't an ass cyst, it was a carbuncle, open carbuncle on his spine.
Right.
Now was so that due to grinding or was that due to Scott McClellan or Jeff Gannon involved with this carbuncle, this grinding carbuncle?
No.
That's
we have
you nasty. Can I have a flush? Can I get a? We're talking all this shit. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I'm swelling with patriotic mucus.
Yeah, you're a little cheapers. Not even one of those in the first segment.
I know. We had no sound effects. I remember. I recall that
numbers.
As we were going out. Well, there's just
numbers.
So much going on, and it's so random. There's no real focus. I mean, we've had earlier today, or at least when I. Found out about it. There was a debate between Frist and Byrd. Did you hear about that?
No.
It was a debate
Frist, the current racist, and Byrd, the former KKK
right,
member?
On the floor of the Senate, a little quote here. Basically, Frist has been trying to go around, and he's pulled out the old up-or-down vote thing.
Oh, yeah.
So,
he wants to do the the nuclear option.
Yeah, most...
Or I guess it's the nuclear.
You're right.
How would you spell nuclear, anyway?
Most political pundits and such have said there's no way the GOP, the Republicans, are going to bring out the up or down vote thing because Harriet Myers took care of that problem.
Yeah,
they didn't allow Harriet Myers an up or down vote. They're not going to bring it out. But see, the thing about Republicans is they totally disrespect. They have no respect for their voters.
No,
that's the issue is that Republicans know that a bunch of ignorant, uninformed people vote for them.
That's almost anybody on the Senate.
Because they do.
Or basically, that's almost anybody in on the federal level of government. But I mean, right down to your local.
But the thing about it is that when you have progressive. Folks, Democrat voters tend to like need a reason to vote.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, one of the problems is
populist.
One of the problems is that they need a reason to vote. They need it. Sometimes some progressive people won't even vote unless they have a good reason.
Yeah.
Whereas Republican voters,
I hear that a lot.
Republican voters vote for the Republican masters no matter what. So Frist knows that even though Harriet Myers came along, that most Americans weren't paying attention or have forgotten, and so Frist has been trying to bring out – here's a quote from Frist. I think it would be against the intent of the Founding Fathers and our Constitution to deny Sam Alito an up or down vote on the floor of the United States Senate. Well, one of the problems is Harriet Myers, and we just discussed that. The other problem is that has nothing to do with the Constitution. Matter of fact, the Constitution – allows
it's a Senate rule. It's nothing to do with a constitution.
And anyway, so Byrd got into a big debate with him, and here's a quote from Byrd. It's not in the Constitution that a United States Senator specifically has the right to an up or down vote. So he got into a big fight with that, and actually I believe that Oh.
And Byrd is actually the go-to guy for the constitutional rules, parliamentary rules.
Well, what happened is that Bill Frist had to back down and say, yeah, you're right. Okay.
Yeah.
To stop the debate. Because
go skin a cat.
Someone else tried to step in, and Byrd says, I'll take on both of you. There's a real good quote from that on, I believe, thinkprogress.org. And also one of the things that's going on is they're trying to ram through the Patriot Act.
Yeah, again.
And there was a compromise between the people who wanted several provisions taken out and people who wanted to add provisions to it.
Well, one thing that I just found out that I didn't realize was on there is the agencies like your bank, your library, bookstores, they can get information everywhere. And these agencies or groups or companies that they get this information from, the FBI, and whoever else wants to delve into your private life unconstitutionally, the people that they get this information from are bound and gagged that they can't tell you that the FBI got your information.
Right. So if
you don't even know.
If the FBI goes to your local librarian and says that we want to know what books this guy's checked out,
they have to do it.
Your librarian can't even talk. Not only can she not tell you, he or she can't tell you, he or she cannot even talk to their lawyer.
Yeah.
So if I'm working at the library, hell, if I'm working at the grocery store and the FBI comes in and says, what does this guy buy? I can't even call my lawyer and say, the FBI wants to know this information. Do I have to give it to him?
See, part of this, the Privacy Act thing came shortly after one more Republican hero, Richard Nixon. Did all this with investigating and bugging with the FBI and the IRS, bugging his people. Matter of fact, he was bugging some of his own people, too. Part of the remedy was provisions of the Privacy Act and whatnot for your personal life, your personal records. And this is this Patriot Act is totally, totally, totally ridiculous.
Right.
And it just it totally strips any privacy out of you. You know, and not so much for the fact. I mean, if you're a terrorist, if it's a duck, it's a duck. You know, anybody that has some connection with terrorism, fine. You look into that. But if they're pecking away at your rights and your liberties and your freedoms for everybody, I mean, that comes right down to your own personal rights.
Well, what a lot of people don't
say, well, you gotta make it local. Well, that's fucking local, man.
Well, what a lot of people don't realize is that wiretaps are legal before the Patriot Act. Yeah. There's all kinds of things. Right. The only difference is that the FBI or the CIA or the DIA or any other organization, before they could
AFL-CIO?
Before they could do this stuff, they had to go to a judge and say, here's the information. And the judges weren't, like, throwing every case out of court. They, you know, some judges were fairly easy.
Now you had to give some sort of evidence saying that this guy is connected.
Right.
And we want to look at this. And,
you know, the FBI can't just say, this guy worked for the Kerry campaign or this guy worked for the Cowie campaign, and we want Verizon to give us his emails.
Oh, not again.
You know, they would have to take that to the judge, and the judge can say, what crime has been committed?
Right.
What do you suspect this person of doing? And they would have to not prove it. They would just have to offer some sort of evidence, and the judge would give them the permission or not. Now, the FBI can simply go to Verizon and say, hi, we're the FBI. We want this.
Well, this is good because this is going to bite the racist right in the ass, right in the assist, because when... And I don't care I don't care if the Democrats ever get back into a working minority ever again. But it's a stone cold fact that they're going to get back in power someday. And these Patriot Acts, these ridiculous provisions that the racist right and the Bush are putting on we the American people is going to bite them right in the ass.
Well,
because the people like Clinton, Hillary Clinton, she's going to say, oh, wait, actually, this guy is doing this and this guy is doing that. I consider that subversive activity. So...
Well, what it has is it has no checks or balances or paper trail or anything.
That's it.
So you can pretty much do whatever you want. And what some people have said is that the Patriot Act essentially makes Watergate legal.
Oh, yeah.
If the Patriot
Act
had existed during Watergate, Nixon wouldn't have had to resign. And there's been a lot of strange bedfellows. Grover Norquist specifically came out and say, I don't think we want to do this because we have to accept the fact that one day Hillary Clinton might be president.
That's what I'm saying.
And they think they have all these all these tinfoil hat stuff about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah,
but
that's it.
To get back,
I mean, you can see that the side and and if you don't believe this, try running as an independent, anything. If you don't think that both of these sides are so polarized, you have to be an R or you have to be a D. If you don't think that's where it's at, then you are not only oblivious, you are sadly mistaken. But once they get up to the top, once they get up there, if you look at, say, you take on the local level, you take Gallus's record and Lou D'Alessandro's record, my goodness, they whore towards the money. They absolutely whore towards the money, and it's pathetic. Well, and on the federal level, it's even worse.
Well, the thing about it is that there's a lot of good reasons for privacy, even if you're not breaking the law.
Sure.
One, besides the fact that it's just nice to have some, another good reason is, for example, healthcare privacy. If you have a disease, okay, you may not want your employer to know that, because if they know that, then they may not hire you.
Yeah.
When they go to look at a pool of applicants, they're like, oh, this person has XYZ, this person has this. Oh, well, we don't want to hire them because they're going to raise our healthcare costs.
Have you got problems enough walking in, like either being white or black or Chinese or whatever, and then being over a certain age or under a certain age, you have a difficult enough time getting a job just walking in the door, let alone them finding out everything about through your insurance company.
And what also medical history? What if you go to apply for a job and you're a Republican and this person's a Democrat?
That's
and
already happened in New Hampshire.
And they can go look it up and that be like, oh, I'm not hiring this person.
That has already happened in New Hampshire. Discrimination on the insurance companies in New Hampshire,
right?
And this was legislation that it was actually, I think, introduced or attempted to be introduced this first session, saying it had happened. If you weren't a Republican, you're not going to get insurance through this company.
Yep.
That's oh my goodness. So is this China or
so? This is not a frilly
Venezuela?
A frilly intellectual right. This is something that's very important that. Everyone deserves and should have privacy to their discussions, privacy to who they communicate and what they say, and also healthcare privacy that your medical information is not public knowledge or could be known by anyone.
Well, some arguments that these anti-freedom, anti-liberty lovers, anti-constitution people down anywhere, any politicians anywhere, they say, well, privacy is not a guaranteed right in the Constitution. That's crap. It's an implied right, if not an explicit right under that. I think the 14th Amendment, if I'm not sure, if I'm not mistaken. Can anybody email us on that? But it's an implied right.
The Liberal Patriot.
The Liberal Patriot. Yeah,
actually, if you email it to liberalpatriot@verizon.net.
There you go.
Speaking of no freedom, Verizon.
That's right. Well, there you go. Although Verizon did kick up a stink about a case.
They tried to fight, but they won. But the point of the matter is that you can still go after terrorists. You can still lock them up. You can still do wiretaps on them. You just have to go to a judge and ask. You just can't choose someone out of a hat. And the thing about it is that if you grant people power, they will abuse it.
It
doesn't matter whether they're Republicans or Democrats or independents. If the FBI has the power to look into anybody's email folder, listen on anybody's phone, and to do whatever, they will abuse it.
And they say, whoa, it's never happened. It's never happened.
3,000.
First off,
3,000 times.
First off, that's crap. And second of all, it doesn't matter if they've never used it, like you said. The opportunity is there if they want to use it.
They tried to come out and say in a press conference that, well, this whole Patriot Act stink isn't a big deal because even though we have these powers, we haven't bothered to use them. Then, through
a
Freedom of Information Act, it came out that the FBI had used these special wiretaps, which do not require a judge's approval, 3,100 sometimes since the Patriot Act was introduced.
That's ridiculous.
So to get off the Patriot Act for a little bit, but what we're having is we're having some very, very conservative right-wing people against the Patriot Act and some very progressive left-wing people who are against this Patriot Act.
John Sununu actually is.
But to get off that for a second and go back to what I talked about with the Frist and Byrd debate, here's something from thinkprogress.org that I mentioned before. Even after several minutes of debating Frist, quote, Byrd did not let up. Majority Whip Mitch McConnell from Kentucky, Republican from Kentucky, took the floor and interjected that having votes on the nominees follows an important precedent. And then Byrd said, I'll be glad to take you both on, Byrd said, and continued his verbal assault. Each time Frist tried to sum up, Byrd added another comment. Finally, a smiling Frist walked over to Bird, shook his hand, and backed off the floor. So,
yeah, it's nice to have debate on the Senate floor like that. And Bird, I think he's the most senior senator, and then is Kennedy. So these guys aren't going to be around too much longer,
right?
You would think.
Well, what it's nice to see is that somebody actually have some spine about something.
Well, yeah, that's Harry Reid, you know, these guys.
It seems that, first of all, not just Democrats are cowards, but also Republicans, because there are a lot of Republicans that have problems with the party, that have problems with aspects of the party. There are Republicans that would like to do what their constituents want for their own electability, but when the word comes down from on high that you will not vote against this, they get in line.
That's how they do it.
And the Democrats aren't much better, because what they do is they say, when the word comes down from on high, we're not going to win this vote, so why vote? Why take it?
Well, how how the Republicans do it is they'll wave a carrot in front of, say, I don't know, Joe Lieberman, and say, look, as Secretary of Defense, you're all about that. And so they'll start touting. And even, unfortunately, how unfortunate, Barack Obama. But they wave a carrot in front of their noses and say, hey, look, go this way or go that way, and you'll be the new Secretary of State. And hopefully Rumsfeld will pull his pants up and finally be a man and step out of the way and let somebody else with a set of ovaries get in there and take over the Pentagon. Because he's a complete failure.
The other thing, one of the things they do, which is how can the Republican Party go so far to the right of the average American and still maintain control? And one of the things they do is what's called a hold, is when they have a vote, they their moderates, so-called moderates, are on hold, and they see how many votes they need, and they have to vote with the party. Now, what they do is that as soon as they have enough votes, they start to say, okay, Chafee, you can vote however you want.
Right.
Okay, Collins, Snow, you can vote how you want. Right. McCain, but they put their moderates on hold, and they have to vote the party way unless they do it. And the party tries very hard to go around and wrangle enough votes to let people off. And that's how they do it. That's how they take care of their moderates, even though they are basically the party of Ralph Reed.
Well,
they're basically the moral majority party.
This isn't going to change until the Democrats get off their ass and actually, one, have some sort of real platform, real alternatives. But you look at where Paul Hodes is at right now. You know, they got all these emails going around, vote for Paul Hodes doing this, vote for Paul Hodes doing that. But you see nothing in the news about Paul Hodes jumping on Bass's ass for Bass being such a failure. And this is just rampant. This is everywhere throughout this process. I mean, they should be picking up bag loads of seats. Talk about strike when the iron is hot. These Republicans are imploding on themselves, and the Democrats on every level are doing nothing about it. They're just asleep at the wheel. And I've kind of lightened up on Kathy Sullivan a bit, but screw it. On this state party level, it stinks out loud. And you can see that right from this sign-stealing thing with Ginther Bain's campaign, right with the James Tobin thing. Someone should have mentioned something about that. Now the James Tobin thing and the phone jamming case, that's gone to that's in the hands of the jury right now.
Right.
And I think both of these people, this Ward Hogowitz or whatever his name is, and James Tobin, these judges should make an example of these people.
Well, one
say, here's what
you
it is.
You mentioned Kathy Sullivan. For those that are unaware, she is the chairman of the New Hampshire Democratic Party. And there are people all across the state who have problems with the New Hampshire Democratic Party who are within it. And one of the issues,
and a lot of them are cowards to say anything to get her out of there.
Well,
but you behind closed doors, they're saying, yeah, she's got to go. Well, have some balls or ovaries and tell her time to go, time to move the party.
Well, the issue is, too, is that only people on the executive committee.
Right.
Are allowed to vote on the chairman. So that means if you're a Democrat, a registered Democrat, you cannot choose the chair of the Democratic Party. If you are a town chair, which means you have been elected in your town at a Democratic caucus to be an official in your town for the Democratic Party, you are a delegate, but you cannot vote on who the chair. Crazy. Only a select group of people. And the point of the matter is this. The New Hampshire Democratic Party says that it is not a policy organization, which means that it does not set policy, which means that if you were anti-choice, you were anti-gay marriage, you were anti you were whatever. Just think of the worst thing you are.
You just you just described our governor.
If your name was Karl Rove,
well, almost.
If your name was Karl Rove, you could run on the Democratic ticket, and that would be perfectly fine.
Well, you look, you know, talking about complacency.
There's no policy.
Apathy. Yeah, there's no strategy.
There's no policy.
You look at this thing in Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
Very recently, there was some stink came out, and well-founded stink from well-founded state agencies have come out and saying this was a totally unethical, corrupt deal.
Well, let's talk about that in the next segment, because that's a big can of worms.
And I'm thinking the reason why, I'm with you on this, but the reason why this isn't, a lot of stink isn't being made of this when the iron is hot, is because it goes right to the governor's office, because him and Gallus are pals. Hey, but it's a duck. It's a duck, guy.
Well, we'll talk about that in the next segment. The point I wanted to make about the New Hampshire Democratic Party that a lot of people don't realize, a lot of Democratic supporters, registered Democrats, even Democrat town chairs, they don't realize that the state party, number one, does not set any policy, which means that I have heard numerous town chairs say, we should have a platform. The state party has no platform because the state party does not feel that it is a policy organization. Also, for those of you candidates out there looking for help, unless you have a local party, a town or a county committee that is willing to help you, the state party does not get involved or give money to any Democratic candidates, whether you win a primary or whatever you do. So we have a party, but it's pretty much a party in name only unless you're running for governor.
Well, according to Jane Clemens, she leaves that type of thing up to DFNH. And DFNH is a supposed nonpartisan group.
Which a nonpartisan group that does not support independence.
Which is about as nonpartisan as Ed Nailey's Coalition for New Hampshire Taxpayers.
It's a nonpartisan group, yet they do not endorse any candidates except for Democrats.
Alex, how about an email on that guy?
But the thing about it is that the reason I brought up that is not only to inform New Hampshire Democrats exactly where their state party stands. They do not fund any candidates, and they do not set any policies.
You're on your own.
What do they do? You go find that out. But here's something they didn't do, or didn't do well enough, is that as many people know that the New Hampshire first-in-the-nation primary is now going away.
Is it in the toilet?
It's almost totally in the toilet.
Unlucky.
And the thing about it is...
What precipitated that, John? Not the flush, but what precipitated the...
Well, what precipitated that whole spiel is that...
Some sort of whining? Or?
I wanted to explain people what exactly the New Hampshire Democratic Party is about. And this is specifically what they say they're about. You decide if that's good or bad. But they don't set policy. They don't fund candidates. They just happen to exist. And I don't know what they do, but one of the things you think they might be in charge of doing is the making sure that New Hampshire remains the first in the nation primary so that...
That's ridiculous.
Which I'm against. I'm against.
Yeah, but this state is no more indicative of the general electorate than Kansas.
I'm against.
But Jim Splaine, he's the one that brought this first in a nation thing up, and Kathy Sullivan is complaining. Well, we wouldn't have. She's scared that not only her party but the whole state would be marginalized into oblivion if we didn't have the first in a nation thing.
I'm against the first in a nation because of the fact that I care more. Or I care equally about national politics as I do about local.
Right.
So it hurts our nation to have this little piece of Utah here in New England making the decisions.
One of the square states.
Right. This is one of the most conservative states in the country, yet we are the first in a nation primary.
Oh, but we flipped, and their comeback is whoever on NH Insider that I don't know if it was Ray Buckley or Jane Clemens. I don't think it was Jane Clemens, but probably Ray Buckley or Jim Splaine. That answered some of my fireballs back on NHinsider.com.
Also,
we have a Democratic governor, and we went to John Kerry at this last cycle. But that wasn't so much that they went and elected Lynch because they wanted Lynch. They wanted Benson out of there.
Lynch was elected by Republicans.
Well, that's the thing, because Benson sucked the root and gave nobody no quarter. Lynch, now what Lynch is doing, he's a swell guy with 70-something percent.
Right. And as you know,
I guess that's what we need in politics is swell guys, not guys that are going to answer the question. Well, what are they going to do?
The real issue is he has 70%. Now, what is he going to do with that?
Right.
Is he going to just try to hold on to that for another 15 years?
Or is he going to
start to spend some of that 70% to actually make New Hampshire a better place to live?
We'll have to wait and see.
But one of the things I wanted to mention about the whole spiel on the New Hampshire Democratic Party is I don't know exactly what they do, but one of the things they should do, not that I agree with it, is they should be maintaining New Hampshire's primacy as the primary, and they've lost it. For those of you who don't know, it's been decided by the Democratic National Committee, the DNC, that there will be two or more caucuses between Iowa and New Hampshire,
right.
And that after that's for 2006. By 2008, there will actually be
even more.
Though there's going to be even more happening, maybe even a primary. I don't know. But the thing about the Iowa caucus, and this is something for you to digest, a very subjective thing, and brings it back to if our NHDP leadership is not funding Democratic candidates, they're not setting policy, they're not doing anything but saying, go out there and do a good job, guys.
Do a good job.
Yeah.
Work hard.
You guys want to do this? Go do it.
Work hard.
If they're not doing anything,
what the hell?
And
they're
not even protecting the primary, why are they there?
What the hell are they there for?
What is the point?
Well, here's my answer to that. I'm going out to get 750. Matter of fact, I'm going to try for 1,200, but I'm going out to get 750 nomination papers that that I need to run as an independent.
Right.
Independent state senator candidate for District 1.
William Cowie.
Dun, dun, dun. That's what I'm saying.
That was me. I pressed that because I was about to say Gallus.
Now we get the call. I just want to say happy belated birthday to my sister-in-law, Christine. Welcome to 40-something, girl.
You may be surprised. Race hatred cannot stop us. This one.